Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Dearly beloved, the crown of righteousness. It is not like the art that you can see in many churches of Europe, where Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit as a dove are placing a crown on the Virgin Mary's head. There, a diadem is put on her head, the symbol of a monarch, denoting her as the Queen of Heaven, based perhaps on a misunderstanding of Revelation 12. The crown of righteousness, however, is actually a laurel, a stephanos, made of leaves and given to the winner of a race or the victor in a wrestling match. The laurel, not a monarch's crown, is what Paul here expects. The laurel, not a monarch's crown, is what the woman of Revelation 12 wears on her head, whereas the dragon is the one who wears a diadem, actually seven of them, falsely claiming for himself the monarchy that belongs to God alone. The laurel is given to the winner of a race or the victor of a wrestling match. This race, however, is against sin, the devil, and the world, not against other people. The laurel of righteousness. It is not an objective genitive. It is not the crowning of Paul's righteousness or a crown for righteousness. Paul is not saying, "I am so righteous, and now my righteousness will receive a crown." This is the same Paul who said, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The laurel of righteousness. It is instead an exegetical genitive. It is the laurel or crown which is righteousness itself. The apostle wrote, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the laurel of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing," as he says here. And the same laurel is mentioned elsewhere. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, or laurel, but we an imperishable." Again, in 1 Peter 5, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading laurel of glory." And finally, the Apostle James wrote, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the laurel of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Which is exactly what Paul says here. Maybe those two are not so different after all. So the laurel of righteousness is the laurel of life, as well as the laurel of glory. That is, righteousness, life, and glory will be given to Paul and to all those who have loved the Lord's appearing. His laurel, my laurel, your laurel, will be righteousness, life, and glory itself. The Lord has made us a little lower than the angels, but he will crown us with glory and honor, we who have loved the Lord's appearing. The laurel of life. What is this but he who is the way, the truth, and the life? The laurel of life will be placed upon us. That is, he who is the life will be ours to enjoy forever. The laurel of glory. What is this but he who is the glory of the Lord, the Son of God himself? He who is God's glory will make us shine like the stars of heaven. The laurel of righteousness. What is this but the full restoration of the image of God, which was destroyed and smashed through the ancient transgression? As for me, we can say with the psalm, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The laurel of righteousness. It is what Paul expects with confidence. He does not doubt. He is certain that it has been laid up for him. His trust is in the Lord Jesus, who will rescue him and bring him safely into his heavenly kingdom. There is no dogma of doubt here, just simple trust in the promises of God. The laurel of righteousness. It is not a meritorious compensation. This is not quid pro quo, a purchase, a trade, a transaction. Christ is not only the judge, but also the one who delivers and preserves Paul and you. The laurel of righteousness. It is given not just to Paul, but also to all those who love the Lord's appearing. Well, who does that? Not Demas. Demas had been Paul's assistant, a brother in the ministry, like Luke and Paul, or rather like Luke and Mark. Paul mentioned Demas in Colossians and Philemon, but at Paul's first defense, no one stood with him. Demas flaked out. Life in the ministry with Paul was difficult, or tedious, or scary. Maybe he was frightened for his life due to pagan or Jewish persecution. Regardless, he was in love with this present world, and therefore he did not love the Lord's appearing. Take note, dearly beloved, because this danger is near to us too. Only those who suffer or are dissatisfied here on earth are able to love his appearing, since his appearing means the end of this present world, the end of this earthly kind of life. Demas loved this present world, but we do not. We believe that there is more to it than just this present world. We believe that the Lord Jesus is real. We are dissatisfied with this world and with our failures, and with the wretchedness and sin that we see around us and even in us. And so we love the Lord's appearing, and we pray, Thy kingdom come, which is precisely the prayer of those who love the appearing of the Lord. The laurel of righteousness. It is a reward for those who overcome the world by means of the Lord who stands near, the Lord who strengthens, the Lord who delivers. To which end, may God grant us his Spirit through his Son, the conqueror of this present world, on the cross and from the tomb. Amen.